The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Well, it was a big old woof of a weekend when it came to the Pac-12 schools, the Arizona Cardinals. Rough weekend all around on the gridiron for those three teams. I'm Jordan Hamm, filling in for Brad on the Brad Sessmatt Show here on Sports 360 AZ. Make sure to check out our website. Go to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of them at Sports 360 AZ. But have a great show for you. Cynthany Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert. She's going to break down some of the nuts and bolts and deeper trends that she's seen with this Arizona Cardinals team. With the Thursday night matchup that they have this week, and kind of what she's seen now with Patrick Peterson returning, with how Kyler Murray has progressed, and that sort of thing. So a lot of interesting insight from her. Michael Fabiano, of course, the fantasy football guru, you know, what do you want to call him? He is the man when it comes to fantasy football, and he answers your questions. Also, a lot of questions about the upcoming matchups for the Cardinals. They play the 49ers twice in the next 3 weeks. So, spoiler, I think he's going to tell you to kind of avoid the hometown team here for the next couple of weeks on the fantasy front. And then Brett Hundley, former Chandler Wolf, UCLA Bruin, now currently with the Arizona Cardinals. He has a big charity event, so he Skyped in with Brad and talked about that. Also talked about that this Thursday night matchup that they have with the 49ers as well. So a lot to get to. Let's get it started. This is brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. And E, where do you want to begin? Like I said, a rough football weekend all around for the hometown. We had a firing. We had a trade just come through for the Cardinals. I think probably start with that. Kenyon Drake headed to the desert for a draft pick. What does that say about the state of where David Johnson and Chase Edmonds are at?
It says that they're probably more injured than we're hearing in the weekly injury reports that these teams put out, wink wink wink, but it's kind of a, at least to me, a low risk, high reward. You're giving up a 6th round pick, I guess that's the word,
right?
And the Cardinals need running backs. Like, they just need help, and I'm still trying to figure out, Jordan, why Cliff Kingsbury went for it on 4th and 1 from his own 30-yard line, down by 4 points. I didn't see all of the game, I just saw the highlights, but that was the kind of play that can turn a game, and it did. And after that, it was just blowoutville.
Most of the 4th down go-for-it calls that he's had, I've been in support of. They've been in situations that make sense. That one, a bit, like, and if there's someone that's going to make you pay for that decision, it's going to be Sean Payton and Drew Brees.
And why was Kyler Murray not involved on the 4th down play again?
Like, there are a lot of questions.
Couldn't you just put, you know, Kyler Murray on the zone read and just have him keep it, and he can probably get to the edge for a yard, I would think.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see with the way the running back room shakes out when everybody's healthy, because the Cardinals have done something that not many NFL teams do, and that they've utilized David Johnson in the slot.
Chase Edmonds in a great way. I mean, Kingsbury deserves credit for being able to get the playmakers the ball in space. No one can argue that.
Yeah, David Johnson against a linebacker in a passing play. Most of the time going to go David Johnson. So they'll need that depth. I've seen quite a few national publications say, why is a last place team trading for a guy in the last year of his contract? I think this is just a depth move, and if Kenyon Drake ends up being your third running back, that's a pretty good setup. And like what Eric just said, it's a low risk move. But news coming down from the Cardinals that they reports, I should say, are still coming through that happened. Marcel Yates, defensive coordinator for Arizona, he is got fired this weekend. And this is a guy that the numbers weren't necessarily strong for Arizona, but you could see the progression with where they were going. They had a rough weekend against Stanford. They did. I'm interested to see how this impacts the recruiting side of things, because Marcel Yates was one of their directors, one of the guys that was heavily involved in the recruiting side of things. And how could that impact the state of this recruiting class? They're trying to target Jason Harris. brother of Jalen Harris, who's over at Higley High School right now, a pretty darn good player. And I know that Marcel Yates was pretty heavily involved in that recruitment. So that's going to have, I think, a pretty big impact this week on the Brad Sessmatz Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona. We're going to talk to Justin Spears, who is very tapped in on the Tucson side of things and U of A. And we're going to ask him exactly that. What sort of implications is that going to have? Chuck Cecil taking over the defensive coordinator duties. So that means, look, Chuck Cecil, when he came back to Arizona, the U of A faithful, the Wildcat faithful, were so excited. That is a name from the past and a guy that has a lot of weight in Tucson. So could this be a potential audition for him to be the guy moving forward as a defensive coordinator? He had similar duties in the NFL. He knows defense. We'll see if there's much of a change, but they have a brutal end of their schedule. What, Utah's involved, Oregon, Arizona State, they don't have many gimmies coming up. So it's going to be, they're playing Oregon State. They host them this weekend. So that'll be the first time we get to see the Chuck Cecil defense. But again, thought that progress was being made. ASU laid an egg against UCLA. They just came out sleepwalking. And it's been interesting the past 2 weeks, the amount of penalties and the type of penalties that this team is getting. It wasn't, you know, they were never a team that was like the least penalized team in the nation or anything like that, but it was never noticeable, the amount of penalties that they got. And it seemed like there were times they just couldn't get out of their own way. But look, UCLA took it to them. You know, ASU came in sleepwalking, and UCLA took advantage, and then some. So they head into a bye week, and then we'll play USC. Again, another interesting November for ASU as well. But I think a lot of Sun Devil fans were thinking, like, okay, we can concede the Utah game, you know, not the best game, but that's a team that, you know, could sneak into a college football playoff potentially, or, you know, they're the favorites to win the Pac-12 South. You can take that game, but you go get a win, you go head into your bye, and then you hit the end stretch of your season. All of a sudden, now you're on a losing streak. You know, Ashari Crosswell got benched. You know, just there were a lot of issues, and this is going to happen with a young team. You're playing so many young guys. Herm Edwards has talked about passion versus emotion. The past couple games, it seems like ASU's been emotional. Not necessarily passionate, emotional. And when you have a bunch of freshmen, some of your games are going to go like this. And, you know, we saw the high where Jaden Daniels was able to orchestrate multiple comebacks, you know, and beat Michigan State on the road and Cal on the road. And, you know, the ice water in his veins for Washington State. And then we saw the other side of that with a lot of different freshmen and young players playing. And it's going to be an interesting November for sure. On the World Series front, the Houston Astros now 3-2 lead. It seemed like Washington was, you know, already planning their post-game celebrations, and, you know, and Baby Shark was going to be ringing through the Capitol. But then Houston comes back. Now a 3-2. Max Scherzer had to be scratched from a start because his neck locked up. And if you saw the pregame press conference, he wasn't, you know, people were asking him stuff. He wasn't turning. He was turning his whole body because he just couldn't move it. So they're hopeful, if game seven is going to be a thing, that Scherzer is going to be able to pitch in that. But that's really the first, I think, on the field disappointment for this postseason. I think so far it's been a really, really good postseason, and it's been fun. And yeah, the potential bigger markets, if you're a casual baseball fan, you might want to see a Dodgers, you might want to see a Yankees in there. I think that these are two teams that certainly deserve it, and it's been a lot of fun. But hopefully Scherzer can go, just for the sake of, as a guy who doesn't have a dog in the fight, can just see the best of the best go head to head. But Juan Soto's continuing an absolute tear. He hit a home run in the World Series as a 20-year-old and now as a 21-year-old. E, what were you doing on your 21st birthday? Because I wasn't playing in the World Series.
Let's see. I was figuring out my life, trying to get through college, and yeah, just sort of in an aimless position of uncertainty.
I was at Four Peaks. I can tell I was.
I'd rather be there than no. I was just hanging out in Fort Worth, Texas, just trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life.
But
you and I, here we are.
It's
trying to figure it out.
Nothing's really changed.
No. We're just older and wiser a bit.
Something like that,
maybe.
But yeah, this youth movement, though, with the postseason, it's been great with what Soto has done. And there have been a lot of Bryce Harper haters out there with, you know, when they were able to make the World Series without him. I don't think they made it because he wasn't on that team. But it's a tough argument when you see what Juan Soto is doing and what Bryce Harper did in the postseason for them and not say, like, yeah, like, they're already going to, if this thing works out for the Nationals, like a Juan Soto statue at age 21, like, I wouldn't put it out of the question.
The,
like,
Nats just have to be shell-shocked. I mean, you go on the road, you hope to split, you get two, you come home for three, and within 5 days, you go back to Houston down 3-2.
Yeah.
Like, oh. Okay,
and
well,
you're
didn't exactly follow the script, but you are throwing Scherzer in Game 6, so...
Is he healthy? I haven't seen him.
I mean, on the broadcast, they announced him as
was the
Game 6 starter.
Okay.
So.
But still, maybe not a full-strength Scherzer.
Nope.
So, yeah, been interesting seeing all the former Diamondbacks as well. Pat Corbin taking more of a bullpen role, but I think has been pretty darn effective. Adam Eaton has been in there. Gerardo Parra, sweeping the nation with Baby Shark. At the beginning of the year, I was sitting on this desk and said, who's going to be the first guy to do Baby Shark as his walk-up song? I don't think Parra was the first, but it's been the most impactful. And that's been pretty awesome to see. I know there are a lot of haters out there with that song.
Which is ridiculous. Did you see MLB.com's little video that they put up of the final Baby Shark intro from last night? I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, like, everybody does it. Not half the stands or three quarters of the stands, everybody that they showed was
there
doing
are people
it.
Dressed as sharks in the stands.
Makes sense.
It's baseball fans are weird.
It got a better reception than our president did, so
yeah.
Okay, on that,
okay,
we should probably,
so
just
we're gonna go to break.
Segment a little
so
short.
Here coming up next, Cynthia Freeland. She is the analytics expert for the NFL Network. We're taking a deep dive on the Cardinals and the impact Kyler Murray has had, how he's progressed in his first 8 games. Patrick Peterson, what has he done, not only by making direct impact on plays, but just his presence. How does that help the defense? She's going to explain that with her insight, and it is some impressive stuff that she's doing over at the NFL Network. So coming up next, that is Cynthia Freeland, and this is the Brad Sessmatt Show. Welcome back to the Brad Sessmatt Show. I'm Jordan Hamm filling in for Brad, and we are now joined by NFL Network analytics expert Cynthia Freeland. Cynthia, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So with the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray, 8 games into the season, you wrote a couple weeks ago about the inaccuracy that he has had on deeper passes. Just how have you seen him kind of progress over the past couple of weeks in this first half of his first season?
Well, first to clarify, every rookie adjusting to NFL life and the fact that, you know, in terms of weapons, he's not used to any of those perimeter players yet. So deep passing, especially outside the numbers, is something where every rookie is going to have a little bit of a learning curve. So he's not, like, disproportionately bad at deep passing compared to his peers or people drafted near him or anything like that. That's just a function of being a rookie, and especially a rookie with an O-line that's kind of let him down in pass protection a bit, a lot.
So with this offense, going into the season for Phoenix media especially, we heard, it felt like every week, this is an offense that you will have never seen before. The things that they're going to do under Cliff Kingsbury is going to be so innovative. Based on what you've seen and the trends that you're tracking, how unique is this offense in the NFL?
Well, look, I think that Okay, so I think maybe they're like, it's the most unique thing ever. It's like a bit of an overstatement in general. I think maybe, you know, look, it's funny to say. And I think if you once you keep saying the same thing over and over again, you have to, like, make it bigger or else you get mm-hmm. bored of saying it. But ultimately, you're like, look, like, the thing that's really smart about this offense is that they're taking the pieces that they have and making them fit. So Kyler Murray has a special skill set and a skill set that Cliff Kingsbury really understands and relates to and can create a game plan for. And that's the best thing you could possibly do, right? Is you take your pieces and you deploy them in a way that makes them optimally successful. So the thing that you're seeing is you're seeing like growth and changes based on what they would like to be doing. I'm not going to say that it's like the most, I think I've seen it before. You know, I don't think it's the most innovative thing like ever, right? But I think that it is a really smart, congruent fit for what he has right now. And even getting Kenyon Drake here, trading for Kenyon Drake today, is a really smart opportunity. For a sixth rounder, that's a really great addition to an offense that, like, David Johnson is special, but when you're hurt, it's really difficult to be special and to keep maintain being special if you're not on the field. So I think they're making these moves, like, very strategically. If you get an O-line in front of Kyler Murray, they can give him just a little bit more in passing and allow those deeper routes to form. Like, I think it could be an exceptionally special, fast-paced, kind of Golden State Warriors-esque sort of paced offense.
That's not a bad. I don't think Phoenix fans would shy away from that comparison at all. Hate that. Let's talk more about this running back room with David Johnson and Chase Edmonds, pretty banged up. Now bringing in Kenyon Drake. Where have you seen David Johnson thrive the most? Chase Edmonds, and what can Kenyon Drake now bring into this offense?
Well, the thing. I mean, look. I think like the Chase Edmonds, the fact that they trust him on the goal line so much. Excuse me, tells me a lot about how they feel about his ability to navigate holds and have vision and be able to earn yards after the catch, yards after contact. Same thing with David Johnson. So I think they're similar pieces. I think we have more of a visual of David Johnson, like just getting deep gashes for, you know, 10 plus yards and finding that outside zone and figuring out like how to make more than what's potentially given to him. Right. So those two are visually like, kind of similar in that way. Like David Johnson's more versatile, especially pass catching, but you know, there's similarities there. The thing that you're going to, like, I know a bit more about Kenyon Drake. I've been tracking him since he played at Alabama. The thing that's interesting about him, he was a third rounder for the Dolphins. And what we saw a couple seasons ago when he was healthy, and let's be honest, when he wanted to play there, you could see this guy get yards after contact. Like he can barrel through a line and make people miss. He's also good at blocking. So in pass protection, he's able to pick up blitzes. He's able to give his quarterback just a little bit of breathing room, which is very, very, very important. I mean, Ryan Tannehill, remember the offense with like Ryan Tannehill and Kenyon Drake, and they got rid of Jay Ajayi. Everyone's like, oh no, Jay Ajayi is gone. What are we going to do? And then Kenyon Drake stepped in and he was averaging like 5 yards per carry for like 3-4 games there.
With Patrick Peterson and his return in the past two games, how have you seen the defense as a whole really get impacted with his return?
So first of all, Patrick Peterson is one of my favorite players, like for no reason other than that he's so fun to track. Like the way that I do a lot of computer vision is like I'll draw like halos around players, and the amount of running and like the I'm gonna use the word annoyance, like the amount of like times he's like so close to receivers has to be so frustrating, but it like makes me laugh when I track it, right? Because that's what makes him so special, like his ability in man to just be so disruptive and in zone to like get across to where he needs to be, like just so he's awesome. He's one of my favorite players. So the difference obviously is like, look, when you have a front and a back that can back each other up, so if you're bringing pressure up front, you're able to take that on the back end and like make a quarterback have to hold on to the ball and think about it a little bit. Like, that's the optimal configuration. And he brings the ability to, like, the pass rush for the Cardinals has been, some games has been there and some games hasn't, right? But when you have a corner that's going to absolutely just blanket someone and make a quarterback have to think for even half a second more, you allow that pass rush to develop a lot more. So you'll see an increase in efficiency, especially in some of these, like, people that, you know, like that he's a bit more familiar with, right? Like, I'm sure he could tell you a lot about Jared Goff's tendencies. He could tell you a lot about Russell Wilson's tendencies, right? So when it comes to stuff like that, you'll even see it more in these opponents that are more familiar.
Talking to NFL Network analytics expert Cynthia Freeland. You can catch Cynthia this Thursday on NFL Game Day View at 3 p.m. Pacific, NFL.com, leading up to the 49ers-Cardinals game on Thursday Night Football. So what sort of trends are you seeing with teams that play on Thursday night? Is there something in particular that you're seeing with either the quality of play or the way that they're able to bounce back, given how the schedule has moved up quite a few days?
Yeah, I mean, the interesting part about Thursdays always are, like stylistically, how dissimilar or similar is the team that you're facing again, right? Like, there's a couple instances, so I'm going to juxtapose the Cardinals with the Ravens, right? The Ravens want to run a ton, like designed runs for their quarterback, not scrambles and plays and fast paced, like not these fast paced little passes, right? They're more like kind of control, ball control, a lot of rushing, be it from Mark Ingram or from Lamar Jackson. So think about switching from like that kind of style. Think like San Antonio Spurs. I don't know what my basketball references are today, but okay, we'll do it. San Antonio Spurs, like slow to like Golden State Warriors, like it would be harder to adjust if stylistically they're very different week over week. So I do think that does, like, you know, play in the favor of the Cardinals for this one, because the style that the Niners are facing when they were facing, you know, the Panthers with Kyle Allen, mm-hmm. and then now with the Cardinals is relatively different, right? Like, their defense is super, the Niners defense is just super dominant and won that game, you know, handily. But in terms of preparing for the offense, they're, it's stylistically a little different with the Panthers and Christian McCaffrey versus the Cardinals.
Cynthia, thanks so much for the time and the insight. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
That's Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert. Once again, you can see Cynthia this Thursday on NFL Game Day View at 3 p.m. Pacific and NFL.com leading up to the 49ers-Cardinals on Thursday night. Thanks so much for tuning in, and this is the Brad Sussmat Show. Welcome back to the Brad Sussmat Show. I am Jordan Hamm, and you have fantasy football questions, and this guy has fantasy football answers. Michael Fabiano, Senior Fantasy Analyst for NFL Media. Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
So the big news here in Arizona, Kenyon Drake making his way to the desert, already a crowded but injured running back room. Just what do you make of this deal and how that could have fantasy implications?
See, I need you to tell me that, because I don't know what's going on with David Johnson now. Like, is his injury worse than what the Cardinals have let on? And Chase Edmonds, how badly is that hamstring injured? Obviously, he's not going to be able to play this week. They have a short week. But here's the problem. The Cardinals got the Niners in two of their next three games, mm-hmm. and the Niners are not a team that you want to start a running back against. And so Drake may have been dropping some leagues. People probably still have him on their rosters, sort of waiting to see what had happened with the trade scenarios. But he's not a guy that you can play with any kind of confidence. He's got San Francisco Thursday night. Then you've got the Bucs, so that's a good matchup. And then you've got San Francisco again before a bye week. So if you have Drake, he is a really risky start in two of the next 3 weeks, assuming David Johnson or Chase Edmonds doesn't come back. And then they have the bye, and then at that point, I would think David Johnson would be healthy if he's not beforehand. So if Drake's out there, I would tell people, go out and get him if you think you need a running back, but don't spend a lot of your fab budget on him, because he is not in a good spot the next couple of weeks. And then, again, assuming David Johnson's injury is not something that's going to keep him out for the rest of the season, after that bye week, you would think that DJ would be back in that backfield, which would mean that Drake could potentially end up being third on the depth chart behind DJ and Edmonds, depending on his hamstring ailment.
And with this San Francisco 49er defense that the Cardinals are going to see, like you said, two of the next three games, how much does that impact starting various Cardinals over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I'd be fading anyone who plays the Niners. If I can fade them, I will. And that's what my strategy was last week with Carolina. Yesterday. And the only guy that did anything was Christian McCaffrey. And that guy, you know, he'll put up 20 fantasy points on the 85 Bears. That's how good
right,
he is.
Right, exactly.
So I don't want to play Kyler. Larry Fitzgerald has disappeared from the fantasy landscape from its statistical perspective. I mean, he hasn't done anything in the last few weeks. So, yeah, Christian Kirk is a player that I would flex during bi-apocalypse when there's six teams on a bye coming up in the next few weeks. But it's really hard to trust anybody, no matter what the team is, when they're going up against the San Francisco 49ers right now.
You mentioned Christian Kirk, came back from injury this past week. Just what sort of connection have you seen with him and Kyler Murray and what he's able to do when he is on the field?
Yeah, listen, before he got hurt, I mean, he was one of the most targeted wide receivers in the National Football League. It was him and Larry Fitzgerald. And now that Fitzgerald is sort of, again, taking a step back there statistically, Christian Kirk's going to be the guy out of that wide receiver group that fantasy owners are going to want to start. Now, with that being said, again, Niners, really tough matchup. DJ Moore did nothing against them. Curtis Samuel did nothing against them. This is a really legit defense. So Christian Kirk would be the only Cardinals wide receiver I would start, and that would be, let's just say, begrudgingly, because the matchup is just not good.
Mm-hmm. With George Kittle on the other side for the 49ers, obviously the tight ends have gashed the Cardinals this year so far, and Kittle's coming off a pretty good game against Carolina. Just what do you anticipate for him on this short week against the Cardinals?
Huge numbers. It's every week. It's been the only tight end who really disappointed was Evan Engram. But if you remember, Rhett Ellison scored a touchdown in that game. So the Cardinals still gave up a touchdown to a tight end. It just wasn't Evan. And George Kittle is going to be the number one tight end across the board in fantasy rankings for that position this week because of the matchup against the Arizona Cardinals.
Talking to Michael Fabiano, senior fantasy analyst for NFL Media. So you have Atlanta, Cincinnati, the Rams, and Saints all on bye. Quite a few good wide receivers will be on bye this week. Who are some that might be available on the waiver wire that can help you kind of shoulder that load while those players are on bye?
So Tyrell Williams got dropped in a lot of leagues because he had missed time, but he scored a touchdown in every game that he's played in. So I would see if he's available. You could also potentially go and look to see if Chris Connolly is available. D.D. Westbrook got hurt for the Jaguars, and Connolly has had a couple of good games of his own, including yesterday. He just had a monster contest there against the Jets. And, you know, Jamison Crowder could be out there, speaking of the Jets, and I get it. You know, Sam Darnold has looked really bad, but they're playing the Dolphins. And if there's ever going to be a get-right game for any player or any team, it's playing the Miami Dolphins. So Jamison Crowder, I think Robbie Anderson's probably owned in most leagues, but Jamison Crowder could be someone who you could pick up in a pinch. But at this point, and we talked about this on our podcast just recently, the waiver wire has not been a very kind place for fantasy owners outside of the quarterback position this season. It just really hasn't been. So Sterling Shepard could be out there. Maybe he was dropped in some leagues, but he plays Monday night. And so if we don't know what his status is going into that Monday night game against Dallas, you could be on the hook for putting up a zero. So there's not a whole lot to like at the wide receiver position right now as it pertains to the waiver wire. And some of the players that I gave you, again, Tyrell Williams would be clearly the number one option. Cole Beasley could be out there as well. He's playing the Redskins this week. That's not a bad matchup either. So, but there's not a lot of options out there that are going to be on the wire that you can put in and guarantee to put up some pretty good numbers.
Speaking of quarterbacks, if at the beginning of the year I would have told you in week 7 two of the top performing QBs was Daniel Jones and Gardner Minshew, what would you have said to me?
Well, number one, I would have said, wow, Eli Manning didn't keep his job very long. And number two, who's Gardner Minshew? everyone was talking about Nick Foles. Everyone was talking about Nick Foles. And, you know, there was very little talk about the, you know, about the backup in Jacksonville. Let's just put it that way. So Minshew's, he's been good, and he's got another good matchup this week coming up. So that's a London game. They're playing the Texans, who just gave up a big stat line to Derek Carr. Now, Foles is expected to be back here sooner rather than later, and I would think the Jaguars would go back to him considering how much money they paid him. But it's been a fun ride with the magic mustache in Jacksonville.
With this New England Patriots defense, is this where do they stack up among best fantasy defenses in the past 15 or so years?
The best ever. It's not even close. I mean, right now, this defense is probably a top, I would say, top 8 quarterback, running back, wide receiver, number one tight end. It's been bananas good. And we can only go back and look at fantasy points to 2000, our NFL researchers, because I've had them look up the stats. This is the best defensive start ever in fantasy football, ever, and it's not even close. I mean, this defense has given you double-digit points every single week, and not even just double-digit points. They're giving you 18-plus points every single week. Now, the schedule is going to get a little bit tougher down the stretch, and they have had the advantage of some really easy matchups over the first, 8 weeks. But this defense has been, it's not the MVP in fantasy football, because that is clearly Christian McCaffrey. But I can make an argument that the Patriots are number two.
Michael, we appreciate the time and the insight as always. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Have a good one.
That is Michael Fabiano, senior fantasy analyst for NFL Media. And this is the Brad Sussmat Show.
So coming up this Saturday, it's a big week for the Cardinals, because Thursday night you have the 49ers who are undefeated. But this week is also their bye week, and guys like to make their plans for bye week. One of those is quarterback Brett Hundley, who joins us via Skype. The local kid made good from Chandler High School. It is also Chandler against Hamilton week. I know the focus is squarely on the 49ers on Thursday night. So let's just get to that, and then we'll talk about your charity event that's this Saturday in the Valley for people to hit on. You come off a tough game at New Orleans. You've got to flip it right back around. You're joining us from the facility. Give us a look ahead to Thursday night, and what's the feel over there about the 49ers?
Yeah, it's crazy because we just get back into town from New Orleans late last night, get here this morning, straight to workouts, and we got a game in, 3 days. The 49ers are a great team, one of the best teams in the National Football League right now, undefeated, and hopefully we can change that. But, I just think they're a really good team. It's good for us because we have to sweep that loss behind us and just look towards Thursday. We have no time to worry about what just happened in Sunday. We just got to get better and move on, and we have another opportunity to win a game. So for us, it's looking forward. It's understanding what we have in front of us, and it's a division opponent, so we just got to come ready.
What can you say about year number one for you here in Arizona? Watching Kyler, you get in some time on Sunday. Just the quarterback room and how that's progressed from your view, Brett?
I think it's been really, really awesome. Kyler's like my brother, and for him to see his growth, his maturity, how he's coming along leading the team, meshing with the players, and just taking command, I think he's done a really good job at it, and he's really, really, really learned a lot in these first couple games, and I just can't wait to see him grow.
Brett Hundley with us. He's going to have his charity event this Saturday. More on that in a minute. Before we get to that, this is also Hamilton against Chandler week.
Yes, sir.
Terrell Suggs is not there with you. In your high school day, it used to be this is Hamilton boat racing Chandler. Okay, let's just call it as it was, or maybe not. Now it's different. Okay, so is there going to be any bets, anything between you and Suggs this week in this locker room?
I'm going to try to win some money this week. If he falls for it, then good for me. I doubt he'll fall for it just because he knows who's going to win. Obviously, the tables have turned. Back in the day, Hamilton used to be the top dogs. Now it's Chandler. So I'm going to try to win as much money as possible off of it.
And you'll be there on Friday night?
Yeah, I actually will.
Because you're on your bye week. That's right.
Yep.
All right, so your event is Saturday. So you're going to go from 49ers, Cardinals, Thursday night, Hamilton Chandler Friday night. Saturday morning, you've opened the Hundley Foundation. This is your first event, and yep, it's fishing. Okay, of all things, why fishing? And tell us about this event that fans can come to.
Yeah, so this is going to be a really, really awesome event. Me and my sister just got the Hundley Foundation off the ground, and this is our very first event. So we're blessed to be able to do it back home in Arizona, where it all started for us. And for me, a lot of people like to go with banquets, with dinners and sit downs. That's not me. And I let people know that, obviously, from what the grand prize is going to be, which is a huge fishing trip with me and Ron, professional fisherman, Ron Johnson out here. And that's just a big, big prize. But there's so many other prizes to win. And this event will be a cool signing. It'll be from 10 to 2 at Shoppers right there on Alma School in Queen Creek in Chandler. From 10 to 2 this Saturday. and just gives us opportunity to really raise some money, get a kick started for our foundation. And like I said, we're in the youth stage of the foundation, but we plan to do a lot of things in regards to epilepsy. As for those people who don't know, watching this, my sister was diagnosed when we were really young with epilepsy, and my nephew has infantile spasms as well. Which is a form of epilepsy and autism. So this foundation is a major part for epilepsy, but we're trying to do a lot of other things, giving back in the community. I do a lot of traveling, so when I travel, I want to give back to different countries. And there's just so much we want to do. I want to do football camps, and all that is going to allow us to do that with this foundation and give back in touch and give back to so many families. So I think it'd be an awesome opportunity. This is the first event, just a nice signing. There'll be players, teammates of mine there. We'll be signing from 10 to 2 again, and it'll be a really fun event. You can win jerseys from Fitz, from John's, David, from Kyler, from myself, and then obviously the big prizes of the fishing trip. So it'll be a really cool event, fun. There'll be a lot of people, and this is our Kickstarter.
That's good stuff. So that is this Saturday, November 2nd, at Shoppers at Alma School in Queen Creek from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. this coming Saturday. You don't want to put that off, so it's this weekend. Good luck this week. Thanks for the time and the visit, as always.
Thank you so much. Always appreciate it.